The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But yes and no. Yes and no, because it's a little different. Roles are a little different. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say this for sure, but maybe Keegan is getting the ball in different spots than he was last year because of DeRozan. Maybe Fox is as well. You know, maybe that is a little bit of a maybe they were used to getting it from Sabonis, and now those looks are coming from DeMar DeRozan in a different spot in the offense. Should I be shooting this much? Should it's DeRozan time? Should I be getting him the ball in the fourth quarter? Like, I think there is a level of symmetry that they're still trying to work out. They've done a good job, and they're getting out of that. You know, that window where they're working through some stuff. But I think there's still something there. Even look with Fox.
So, like, you still think there's something to figure out?
Yeah, even Fox. Like, should I be taking over right now? Or should I? Like,
oh, I don't think he's wondering that. I don't think De'Aaron's wondering that at all. Like, if it's affecting anybody, I don't agree with you.
Okay.
I think if it's affecting anybody, maybe you could make the argument, Keegan, Kevin, maybe Malik, maybe Trey. I can't imagine it affecting Malik. Malik do what he do, but like maybe some of those other guys. That's if I'm trying to take what you said and stretch it and like, okay, maybe you're onto something. I don't think any of that's true. The shots are there. They're just not making them. And I don't know how you change that. Other than making them, which is the most ridiculous basketball analysis ever. Make your shots. I mean, they're there for them. Like, and that's the thing. I feel like the offense is flowing. I feel like a lot of things are working for them. But I just don't know. I don't know why they're missing at such this crazy rate of three-point shots. You know, we'll talk to Will Z in about 45 minutes. I was just going to ask Will, can they maintain this? Can they shoot the two-point shot in any way, shape, or form at an extremely high clip, which by all appearances they're doing right now, continue to miss threes maybe at a slightly higher rate than they are right now and survive?
I don't think
that's a different era of basketball.
I don't think they – when you talk about survive, I don't think it would be any better than what's going on right now, which is not what they want. Like, we don't want them to be a 500 team.
Right.
We want them to excel and be – you know, eventually 10 games over 500 or something like that. And they can't get there shooting the way they are, I don't think. I think that just has you more or less where you're at right now, best case scenario. Might even be worse eventually. But I do think, and our guy Coach JT, he mentions this one thing. He says spacing, you know, is an issue sometimes. And that doesn't have anything to do with making or missing the shots, but the comfort level, knowing where the shots are coming from, that may have something to do with the shots not falling down. But I also agree with you to a certain degree where, like, you just got to make the shots. I don't care if the spacing is off. Like, if you're open, make the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just what it is. So they're at 11 games. I maybe stubbornly sticking with us. I give them 15 games before I really feel like I know who they are. They have 4 games left.
Well, they go 4-0.
Yeah, 4-0 beating Phoenix, Minnesota, Utah, and Atlanta.
Yeah,
that'd be good. I mean, just shorten, condense it down a little bit. Look at these 3 games. I mean, these 4 games at home. Yeah, man, I'm not. I don't feel like I'm doing much saying I want 3-1 at least. Come on, man, you at home. That's what this is all. That's what this stretch is all about. It's about they need to show that they are the team that everybody wants them to be at the Golden 1 Center. It's a tough place to play. They're a tough team to play at the Golden 1 Center.
Yeah.
You establish that by starting to win games and putting up a record where people are like, man, they've only lost 2 times at home. You do that by winning games.
And that's the other thing about, like, the expectations of this basketball team and, like, the fan reaction, you know, and it's not great right now being, I think, 2-2 at home.
Mm-hmm.
You don't establish home court. You don't make Golden 1 Center something. Fans go to the arena kind of on pins and needles.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe, you know, like you can, they can be really hyped at the beginning of the game. And by the way you start, you can keep them in the game like that. If you get off to, and it wasn't until the fourth quarter that they were out of the game against the Clippers.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't until the fourth quarter that they were out of the game. But, like, it was, you know, the crowd had a, like, I don't think the crowd really knew what was going on.
Mm.
And it was just kind of like, all right, cool. There was no moment. There was nothing like, all right, yeah, all right. You know, great play.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little, there's no buzz. There's no energy. And it wasn't until, you know, the fourth quarter when you felt like maybe this is slipping away. There was a big Malik Monk dunk. You got a pop there. De'Aaron hit a 3. It was way too late. They did, you know, it was a mini run. But, you know, De'Aaron's 3 kind of capped it off. And then I think the Clippers scored on the next possession. And people was with me.
Yeah.
They was headed for the door.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to be the norm. And so you either have to get off to really good starts and keep, and I'm not saying go up 15 every game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying you need to be, you can't fall behind.
Right.
And I think when you're not playing from behind, your crowd is a little bit more invested in it. They were playing kind of just tip for tap basketball on Friday, and the crowd was just kind of like, oh, okay, all right, it's cool, it's all good. And then all of a sudden, you know, 1-for-10 became 2-for-20. And it just started becoming this absurd stat where every 3 that went up, like, I bet if you go back and look at the game, you go find a camera, something, 3-pointer goes up, people look up at the scoreboard. Like, God damn, really?
Right.
I know I was doing that. Every time a 3-pointer went up, I was like, I can't believe the number that I'm looking at.
Right.
2-for-21, 2-for-22, 2-for-23.
Mm.
Crazy.
It took the air out of the building, man. And, you know, I think one of the things that you also said that is an issue is continually being down in these games. I mean, there's the Toronto game, that was the last game I was at. And, you know, there was a level of angst. They went down with 9, I think, in the third quarter. They were down the entire time. Boucher's out here hitting shots. RJ Barrett is out here hitting shots. And, you know, by the time they were able to turn things around, that's when people got hyped and everybody got up. But you think about that Clippers game, I don't even know if they led. So they're down the entire time.
That's a good question.
Like, it's just going to be people, like, waiting for them to take things to another level. And, they have to find a way.
Incorrect, sir. The Kings led by 3.
In the first.
In the Clippers game?
Yeah.
No, the Kings led by 3 once in the game. Just once.
What,
it was their biggest lead of the game.
5-2?
Might have been that. Let me see. I think you're right. It was in the first quarter.
Yeah, they gotta and at home, on the road, all this other stuff. They play from behind too much, man. Mm-hmm. They gotta find a way to get out. I'm just talking hoop, man. I can't talk hoop. Joe, can I talk hoop?
No, it's fine. You're doing good. Hey, it's all good, man.
they don't have the lead enough in games.
There you go. Okay. All right.
And they gotta find a way to change that. They have to find a way to change it. They have to find a way to, hey, man, give me a game where you're up by 12 for the majority of the game, you know, and win.
Well, just give me a game where you're not down 12.
Well,
I mean, if you're up three, I don't care if you're up 3, 5, like 10, just like not being in a deficit for the entire game. But they've got to hit shots for that to happen.
This is true.
There's a couple of things we'll have to monitor throughout the day. Brad and Nurkic. Nurkic didn't play last night.
Mm.
Both of those guys are listed as questionable headed into tonight's game.
Mm.
Neither one is listed it out. They're both listed as questionable. So those are a couple of names that we will keep an eye on as the injury reports roll out over the next couple of hours to see who they wind up marching out there on the floor. I think there were big Mason Plumlee minutes last night, who played pretty well against Sacramento on Sunday. He played okay last night also. Book was great last night. Book said he's still adjusting a little bit to Mike Budenholzer.
But Book, that he's a problem.
No, Book is.
He is a problem.
Yeah, ooh. Book is legit.
Yeah, man. So I'm expecting Phoenix to want to get their get back from Sunday, you know, and look at it. This is a team that's 9-2, you know, and also they're 9-2 and they're looking at, you know, the Warriors doing what they do. And they're like, hey, you know, it's early, but we want to keep pace. We want to be the top dog out here. Budenholzer's done a good job in the first 10, 11 games of the season. And they're feeling good about themselves, whether they have KD or not. And they probably feel like they let one slip away on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get that get back.
Oh, you can feel that way all you want to. The Kings need to get a victory too.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. Like, you can feel however you want to about Sunday, but the Kings might feel like, well, if we got to beat the Suns again, that's what we got to do.
That's what we got to do.
We got to get back on track because you laid it out. It's the Suns, Timberwolves, Jazz, Hawks. They're at the Clippers. That is the road game. And then they've got the Nets. Jordy returning to the Golden
Shout
One
Jordy.
Center. He'll get quite a bit of love when he returns, and then we're going to hand out captain hats that day. And then that sounded like hate. I didn't mean for it to be hate. That wasn't hate. And then OKC as the final home game of that stretch right there.
Mm.
Mm.
Win tonight.
Timberwolves. I think one thing for the Kings, for Kings fans, is you look around the league, the Minnesota Timberwolves are a great example. There's a lot of teams that really haven't found their flow yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 6-5 basketball team, and we could discuss whether, you know, what you think of Minnesota. Minnesota right now is playing below what people expected them to play like.
Yeah.
New York. New York is another one. They got the win against Philadelphia yesterday. They're not where they want to be. I don't think they're where their fan base expected them to be. I certainly don't think they're where, as an organization, they expected them to be. Philly ain't there yet either, and damn it, they might not make it.
They might not.
They might
Dallas
not make it.
There.
Dallas ain't there. Yeah, that's another one. I think Dallas under 500 now. 5-6.
I think they're.
Did that game send them to 5-6?
6-6, but they might be.
Let me
5
check.
And 6. But what's the? I'll say this. What's the common denominator with all these teams?
New players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and look at the Warriors. I know they had
5-6 for Dallas.
I know they had a Buddy and Melton. Those are, but mostly intact with the same guys. Look at Cleveland.
Buddy was a great addition.
Look at Cleveland, mostly intact with the same guys.
Yep.
And I think, you know, these teams.
There one big change in Cleveland.
Yeah, coach.
Not on the floor. Yeah.
Same thing in Phoenix. Even though they have mostly the same guys, but they changed the head coach as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think. In the next week or two, we'll start to see a little bit more separation between the good teams and the bad teams. And we'll see those teams that are trying to find their way start to find their way.
Yeah. Okay. Let's find our way in the world of high school football. Our man Joe Davidson set to join us next. We got
playoff.
Will Z. Right after that, we'll get back to Kings basketball. Power rankings on the way for week number 10. Coming up, and then James Hamm, the final hour of the show. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Joe recognizes how rich KC is, so we just spent the entire commercial break discussing that, as apparently the Caraways are renting out theaters now for children to have parties in, but fine. Not everybody can do it.
Okay, so not everybody richer, can do it. Renting out a theater or having one in your home?
As we welcome Joe Davidson to the Sacramento Bee here to the show with us. Joe D, a couple of things we've got to touch on, high school-wise, collegiate-wise. Let's start in college. You brought them up during the commercial break. Let's get right into this conversation. UC Davis football.
Mm.
What's going on over there?
We're cardigans over there.
Well,
we're Letterman's jackets. We're ribbing our good friend here, Kenny Caraway. I thought he had a Letterman's jacket on, but off the air, we learned.
It's cardigan season, baby. Come on now. It's cardigan season.
Boy, I mean, rocks it, though, with it's good.
Mind you, I'm not the only one with a cardigan on.
Well, you're the one.
What's going on here? Like, is people looking at the screen?
You're the only one on the air with a cardigan.
D-Lo's got one on right now.
Don't worry about that. You're the richer cardigan is what it is. Mine's just a nice little Macy's brand. Just trying to support black creators. Though you are too, so I am mad at you.
Just doing what we can. Just trying to stay warm.
Well, UC Davis, guys, Tim Plowers, their first year coach. He's an alum of the school, played quarterback there in the 2000s, twice as an assistant coach. It's been a fantastic boost. To replace the Dan Hawkins era, who stepped down to allow this change. They're rolling. And Tim Plow is refreshing. He's dynamic. He's right to the point. He's challenging the students on campus and the people in the community. Come out to UC Davis Health Center on Saturday. Let's fill up the place. Ranked number 4 in the FCS level are the Aggies. 9-game winning streak, getting ready to take on number 2 Montana State, which is 10-0. That's a monster game. Mm. I think it's terrific for this level of play. We're not trying to say this is, Ohio State and Georgia and Michigan, but for this Division I AA, it's fantastic. We saw what Sacramento State did the last few years, and then they're dipped this season amid a bunch of injuries and all that. But the Aggies are fun. They have a guy, I think, who's going to get drafted in running back Len Larison. He's a Christian McCaffrey type, if you've ever seen it. Quick, versatile, can block and catch, can throw the ball. There's always room in the NFL for guys like that, so that's a possibility. The guy was a steer champion in Idaho growing up, meaning he was on horseback, jumped down onto a steer, grabbed him by the horns, and took him down. So if you can do that in an arena, then you're not going to be afraid of people on blitz packages. I mean, he's quite the player. Their senior quarterback, Miles Hastings, third-year guy, who has had a fantastic season, and they're fun to watch. So that's a big showdown. I'll be covering that. And then after that is the 70th Causeway Classic between rival Sacramento State and UC Davis. I'm still waiting for a season when they're both in the playoffs. It's only happened twice since over the decades. And Sac State started football in 1954. And so both teams made the playoffs in 1988 as Division II teams, and Sac State beat UC Davis in those playoffs. And then they both were, and that's it. That's it. They've never been in the playoffs. I think one other time in the last several years, but it's, that's it. And my point being, it's too bad that the Causeway Classic doesn't have some real championship implications. And but Sac State's geared and programmed to bounce back strong. I don't have any doubt about that.
Last season, if memory serves me correct, wasn't Davis kind of snubbed? Like they thought they should have made the playoffs last year, but they got snubbed.
Yes. Well, you know, anybody who doesn't make the playoffs feels snubbed. And anybody who makes the playoffs and they're not top seed feels snubbed. We live in an era of snub. You know, I mean, I was going to wear my show sweat top, but I figured, no, I think I'll make those guys just feel snubbed. And here's Kenny over there with his cardigan, and we're mocking him, and he feels snubbed.
Yeah, well.
So,
Joe, you know, we get you one of these, man. We might have some D'Lo and Casey cardigans, man. We might have to get that going in rotation.
Colors, but that's okay. You know, I mean, for a Sac City Unified product, and where's the McClatchy colors?
Well, guys over there.
Dan Hawkins' final season last season, alumni coach, they had some tight losses. They had some games they thought they should have won, and then they beat Sac State in the Causeway Classic and thought that was good enough to get them into the FCS playoffs. There's only 24 teams that get in. You know, 14 league champions and then 10 at large. So it's not easy to get in, but the Big Sky advances team. Sac State got in for the fourth year in a row, despite finishing lower in the conference than UC Davis. UC Davis doesn't have to worry about that this season. Now they're trying to win a league championship, and Coach Plow said this is the greatest season in school history. Is that too boastful? No, he's right. They have a 9-game winning streak, which is the longest in the history in their history in the FCS for 20 years, over 20 years in the FCS. So bring it on. They're worth a watch. They're certainly on TV too, ESPN Plus and My 58 on the local dial. But they're good. They're worth watching.
Joe, what's Sac State going to look like now with Coach DP out there at LSU, Sac State basketball? How big of a shift are they facing this year?
There is a good shift because the previous coach was dynamic and he was fun. You guys had him on the air a bunch of times, but he had to go home. That was his native state to be an assistant coach at LSU.
Well, we heard what he got paid. He really had to go home.
No, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Get that phone call. Yeah, I mean, that phone call could be on the moon. It's time to go.
You know, I could continue to take the small check, or I could take my vault.
Yeah, right. That's right.
You know, and so he did the right thing, and you know, and that's what happens sometimes if you're a mid-major program. Troy Taylor did great work as a football coach at Sac State, and then Stanford plucks him, and yeah. Reggie Christensen's done some great stuff at Sac State baseball, and the Hornets have extended him, so he doesn't move on. I think the Hornets are going to be fine, and men's basketball, same with women. Got to get rid of that old nest, the old gym. They were supposed to be in the Well, which is their on-campus facility just beyond one of the end zones on the football stadium. That's supposed to happen sometime in January. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Kenny and I did, when Damien, I think, was vacationing or signing autographs.
You know how that goes.
Hawking cardigans or whatever he was doing. But
this is what we're doing, Joe. You turned Joe turned on me right here in the middle of the show. Joe turned on me.
Everybody's right. Everybody's right.
But, I'm snubbed.
Snubbed. But you know, and we were talking a few weeks ago, Kenny, you and I were, that is this a great thing that Vivek Ranadive, the Kings majority owner, and Golden One Center offering to have home Sac State men and women basketball games if they get into the Pac-12. Yeah, that's great. But Sac State and UC Davis played men and women basketball doubleheaders in the last several years, and nobody showed up. They don't do that anymore. So the point being, are people going to show up? If you put a winning product out there, history generally shows that people come out to see the good show.
Joe, so
we'll see how that unfolds.
For sure, for sure. I gotta talk a little bit about the city of Sacramento. Big vote happened yesterday. The Wilton Rancheria tribe, who now owns the Sacramento Republic, they got approved for the land that they need to build a new soccer stadium in the rail yards. And Joe, like I said, you don't have to put a number on it, but I know you've seen everything that needs to be seen here in Sacramento. How long have they been talking about doing something at the rail yards? And this time, I think it actually is going to get done. I think this is the one that actually gets done and starts the whole development on there. But is it kind of surreal to think that this is going to be, this is actually
going to happen? I think it's fantastic. It's really good. And we've seen that. You're right, Kenny and Damien. There's been years of this. It kind of reminds us of the Kings ownership under the Maloof brothers. And there was always talk of a new arena, but then this tax would come up and this, and it just got delayed and delayed. But money talks. You get a whale, you get a big sponsor or donor partner, and then possibilities happen. And so Sacramento's done a fantastic job of selling out or really filling up the arena, the stadium for FC Republic over the years, and those crowds turn heads. And Major League Soccer wants to have a city that will support its team. That's Sacramento. We've seen that with the Kings, and we've talked about this. So the Kings have been here since 1985. They've only had a handful of winning seasons and playoff teams, but they'll come out as long as the effort's there. And there's been some years where you just wonder, geez, did I just throw my money away? Speaking for the fans. And so the point being that people will come out when Sac State football was rolling, they were selling out. UC Davis has been selling out. High school football, high school basketball is a big deal because it's a good product. Give a good product, people will show up. And, I think of high schools like the Castle Robley Rams and Division Five, defending Division Five champions, and their coach, Chris Horner, their spirited, fantastic, fun coach, likes to say the Orangevalians, the people in Orangevale. So they'll come out. Folsom people will come out. As long as you're putting out a good product and having a nice venue really cements that fact. So kudos to FC Republic, and it was a unanimous vote in the city council, and that's all good stuff. And you guys have had my friend Chris Breedman of the Sacramento Bee talk about this, and got the A's coming up here. So it's all good. It's all really good for soccer. I don't see anything negative about any of that.
Shout out to Castle Robo and my man Eric Eaton. He said they're watching this in the classroom right now. So big ups to
them. Well, how about that?
They're watching this?
Why don't we snub them?
That's mildly terrifying.
Are they still in the playoffs? How's that for a snub? They're in the playoffs. Of course they're in the playoffs. They just won a big game the other night against Foothill, and now they go up the road to El Dorado to take on.
He tweeted us. He says, we have it on at school.
Oh, dear God.
I like that.
Well,
why don't we declare this right now? Hey, everybody in that class watching, you have the rest of the day off. Don't even worry.
Joe.
The views and opinions expressed by Joe studies. Davidson are not necessarily that of D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320 KSFM, nor Odyssey.
No, D, where were you 20-some-odd year ago when I was in biology class with Mr. Warner? I needed to get out of there. Where were you then?
I wasn't on the air. I don't even think we had the internet then.
You had the Saturday show. I used to always want to be on the Saturday show.
I remember doing. Yeah, then that wild. I was just talking to Ron Nachetti earlier today. He's the executive director of the CIF, the governing body for high school sports, and we were talking about how it went from summer to suddenly late fall, like in a day. Yeah. 9 weeks we went out to high school football games to cover them. And I had three trains of thought, am I going to find parking? Am I going to have heat stroke? And am I hydrated enough? Because it was so darn hot. Now I gotta bundle up and wear my old hoodies from Sac City College and whatever, and wear long johns and all that. I'm from the Oregon Mountains. We had high school games in 22 degrees. Here we're complaining when it's 55. What's wrong?
Yeah, I'm complaining. It's cold at 55. Yeah. It is cold.
Well, you're nothing to cardigan can't.
I need a jacket over the cardigan at 55. It's cold. I'm from California.
Where are we at in the high school playoffs, Joe?
We are in the second round, and I'm just going to zip through this really quick. So we got Folsom, which is going for a section championship four-peat in Division One, five-star recruit, quarterback in Ryder Lions, could be an NFL guy. He's only a junior. He was our SAC B player of the year last year. Great footwork. Everybody in America wants him in college. Never had anything worse than a 4.0. Never had a B great in his life. So he's worth taking a look. Andrew Cumming, Granite Bay, is in another quarterfinal Division One. Another one of note is the Oak Ridge Trojans of El Dorado Hills are number two ranked team in the B, coached by Casey Taylor, going to play Monterey Trail Division Two. Rockland's the top seed. Manteca down there, the Buffaloes and the 209 have nine section championships. The Grant Pacers are going to be in the game. I'm going to cover Jesuit plays at Grant, Del Paso Heights. That's fantastic. And right on the line, I have a funny little anecdote about Grant and Jesuit. Those two teams played in the 1993 playoffs. And this is how long ago, but I remember covering it there. I was 8 years old, allegedly, give or take 10 years. And there was a titanic hit in this game. Marcette Lawson was Grant's star quarterback, 6'2", 205 pounds, and he went on a design run, day game, playoff game at Jesuit, and Nigel Burton sees him, and he's 5'8", 150, collision. Both guys go down. One guy gets up. It's Nigel Burton of Jesuit, their safety. He kind of wobbles to the sideline, and then, because he's got class, he goes back to see if the guy he just laid out is okay. They strapped him to a stretcher. The quarterback who got blown up and took him to the hospital, he had a concussion. It was okay. Grant lost that game. So Jesuit fully arrived. Here we are all these years later, and here we go again. But after that game in 1993, I went back down to the Sacramento Bee, and I said, we have to, starting this season, have to come up with a defensive player of the year because of players like Nigel Burton who impact game. So he was our first defensive player of the year, and then he became the head coach at Portland State football, and he would text me or call me once a year or so and say, can you settle a bet? I'm with my buddies, and they don't believe that I ever could hit that hard. They don't believe that I ever was a defensive player of the year, and I would settle those bets. I never got my earnings from that, by the way. So it's neat that the generations, and here we go again, and away we go. And we've got seven divisions. The section finals for football will be Thanksgiving weekend. Triple header, three games on a Friday. Triple header, three games on a Saturday at Hugh Stadium at Sacramento City College, one of the great venues. I'm wearing the hoodie there. So football is cruising right along, and we have good weather. We don't have any rain. We like that. And so games start right at 7. It's worth for people. It's worth it for people to go take a peek.
If it don't rain, I might go out to those games at City on that Saturday. That's going to be fun. That's going to be good stuff.
Yeah, come on out. Come on out and let me know. I know people. I could get you on the list.
Kenny's a notorious meteorologist.
And that's why I'm sketchy. It's sketchy. It usually rains that weekend. I don't know.
I'm going to put you on the spot and say, don't let him in unless he's got a cardigan on.
Well, I'm telling you, look, the weekend of Thanksgiving, I'm telling you right now, the cardigan will be under a puff coat. It's going to be cold.
That's exactly. A puff coat is right.
It's going to be freezing.
You know, I learned years ago I will not cover a game and be cold. I'll be miserable. I'll be grumpy, but I'm not going to be cold. Right?
I'll be miserable and grumpy. That's fine, but I ain't going to be shivering. There ain't no way. You don't pay me enough to shiver.
Joe, get me on the sideline with you, man. Miserable. I'm there. I need that sideline axe. I didn't got spoiled. Need the sideline axe.
No, we'll get you in there. We'll get you in there.
Hey, Joe, did KC tell you the story about how he told Patrick Willis to go to hell when he asked for a picture?
That is not what
NFL Hall of Famer told him to go straight to hell. He doesn't take pictures for free.
That is not what happened. Don't listen, Joe. That's not
Patrick
what happened.
Willis said, hey, I don't talk to people who wear cardigans. Come up here with a football jersey and maybe we'll talk.
What a football jersey. Joe, actually, what happened was I didn't want to ruin Jason Verrett and Patrick Willis's photo by having some random guy that nobody even knows in the picture. So I said, no, man.
They asked him to take the picture with him, and Casey was like, no, man, I'm good. I'm cool. Like, go ahead.
They would have
Jason Verrett, Patrick Willis. Just,
they would have this great picture forever, and then this guy just in there. Like, who's this guy? Now, I was wrong because I had a D'Lo and Casey crew neck on, and I should have gotten the picture.
This guy.
I should have got
the picture. Did you have your beard? Did you have the beard?
Oh, always. The beard ain't going nowhere, yeah.
I'd get, yeah. Well, that was a blown moment then.
That was. It was, Joe. I can't even lie.
You ever get the emails where the subject line is, be better? That's the email I'm going to send you. Is that a scolding term? I know football coaches, high school football coaches get that. Be better!
It's so simple, but it just hits a little different.
It's almost hurtful. It's almost hurt. Be better. Oh, God damn. All right.
Why you got to say that?
It's lecturing. It's scolding. It's demeaning. It's just, you know, how's that productive?
But it's also meant to just, like, it could also just be, hey, man, be better.
Right.
Like,
right.
We read it, hey, be better.
That's right.
That's exactly
what we don't. I get it regularly as a journalist. Be better. And then somebody's just ripping you and say, you didn't have this, you didn't have this. And then I'll write back. So I don't think you read the story. And though tempted, I do not say be better. have a little squabble. You know, no, you be better. No, you be better.
I be hating on my boy Joe D on Twitter. Then Joe be like, look, Joe's so nice too. He be nice with him because I'd curse at him.
Well, Joe has to be nice. Yeah. Joe covers 16 and 17 year olds, man. Like, he's got parents mad and teachers mad.
That's what I'm saying. It's not even the 16 and 17 year old. It's the parent.
Well,
Uncle Lou out there tweeting Joe, like, why didn't you say this about it? I'm like, bro, relax.
I've got journalism friends, Chris Jackson of West Coast Preps and Jordan Jorgensen of Gold Country Media. These guys are tremendous. They're the younger generation. They're doing great stuff covering local high school sports. They get confronted by mothers who want to see their ID and their information. I haven't had that, though I'm looking forward to that little squabble.
I'll face card.
Lady, you back off. Lady, you back off and you be better.
Man, be better.
She chased me around the yard with a pocketbook.
That feels like a new shirt for DLoandKC.com.
Like, be better.
Be better, the official Joe Davidson shirt.
Yeah, we'll put
shirt.
Joe, like, you know, quote, be better, and then Joe Davidson underneath. Come on, man, we just made it happen. David Jackson in the chat. Go ahead, come on. Joe D needs his own shirt.
This is Dave Garcia.
Dave Garcia. What did I say, David Jackson? Oh, sorry.
That's the other 209er.
Sorry, David Garcia. Because I had an idea with David Garcia that we went over. So there's another one. So, Joe D, you might be having some.
Maybe we throw Joe's little signature from his press pass.
Yeah,
signature on there. And we had the Be Better shirt from Joe. And then maybe we get a Be Better cardigan just for Joe D.
Right there.
I love it.
Before we let you go, anything surprising in college, in high school football? Anything about these matchups in the next couple of weeks that are like, oh wow, surprised
by
that?
You know, not really, but I will bring up a bigger topic. It's interesting, you know. So here's Folsom is going for its 10th section championship since 2010. Remarkable.
It's only been 14 years.
I think there's like Folsom fatigue going on. Folsom fans love it. Everybody else is turned off by it. Mm-hmm. And when for whatever reason, people don't like a winner. They accuse them of recruiting. Where's the evidence? Let's see the evidence. It's never evidence. It's always hearsay. I've heard that for different sports for many, many years over the decades. But when the Grant Pacers went to a state football championship in the open division, the elite open division in 2008, and they won that game, and it was down in Southern California, and we did stories where people had TVs on everywhere through Sacramento because everybody was pulling for the Grant. Mm-hmm. Everybody was embracing the city school, Mike Albergini, the famed coach. And when Grant was in the state final each of the past 2 years, same kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. When Del Oro gets to a state football championship, Rockland gets a state football championship, Granite Bay, Folsom, nobody's rooting for them. Nobody's rooting for them unless it's their own crowd. So that's always been kind of interesting to me. And if Grant went back to a state championship, I think people would be pulling for him. Yeah. So interesting dynamic like that. I'm sure if the McClatchy Lions ever
come on now.
Made it to the football
come on
playoffs.
Now. I'm taking a day off. I'm taking a day off.
Well, that would be a be better, got better moment.
It's a day off that's
sure
never coming.
Oh, let's go. El Camino out here throwing
shit. Oh, that looks like, I don't know El Camino stinks. Like, I still live the 83-0 game or whatever it was at El Camino High School.
Against Grant.
Did Joe remember? That game was at like, what was it, like 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the morning?
Damn.
Because something that just happened.
There was the origin of that. So that was probably in 1994. And early that season.
Checks out.
Grant was playing Johnson of the city's district in a non-league game at Grant. And mm-hmm. I was on top of the press box because it was so hot and stuffy inside the press box down below. And some guy behind the press box at Grant, there's the parking lot. There's one of a couple parking lots. And some guy was spinning Brody's in his car. And I looked over and I saw, and as he was pulling out of the far parking lot, he pulled his gun out and shot up in the air. Mm. And I was probably the only guy in the stadium who didn't hit the deck because I saw what happened. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the Grant people all hit the deck because they've
heard heard that noise before.
They know what they
and it,
ask
too,
questions
too
later.
Often has nothing to do with the game or the people in the game. So the rest of the Capital Athletic League back then said, we're not going to play Grant at Grant, and we want them to forfeit all the whatever. And Mike Albergini said, this really pisses me off. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're going to take it out on teams, and they did. El Camino was the next team. I don't think it was 83-0. I don't think it was that bad. It was worse. I think it was 86-6.
It was worse.
Grant went on to win a section championship that year. And so finally they got their night games back. And so Grant protected Simmons. Hey, you know, we have a tough neighborhood, but it's not like our people are causing these issues. Mm-hmm. And same at Burbank High on Florin Road in South Sacramento. Some 10 years ago, somebody was firing shots at the nearby bus station. Oh, got to make them play day games for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. Had nothing to do with the school.
Right.
I can understand being safe and secure, but sometimes it's overboard. And sometimes it's ludicrous to see 40 cop cars at a Grant game as if they're anticipating chaos.
And help me, Joe. We were the next week. It was scheduled for a night game, and the 8.5 black people at El Camino were like, "Well, let's just go. Like, we'll all go." And then it became clear during the week that game's not happening. And then it was moved. I think it was a Saturday morning. Grant was like, "Okay, dog."
I was there. I can't
beat their ass.
What time? But I was refreshed. I mean, we never want to see a score get run up like that. It's just pursuing victory with honor, which is a CIF motto. But at least the coach was honest about it. Mike Albergine goes, "You know, we're gonna let people pay. You're gonna badmouth us and assume or whatever." And that's what they did. And the CIF can't punish a coach for running up a score, certainly not in a non-playoff game. And the school certainly loved their coach, Mike Albergine, so much that they were, you know, they kind of understood it. I don't think they continued the rest of the season with that. Not that I remember, but the first couple of opponents were beaten pretty soundly starting. And here's what was crazy. So Mike Albergine used to live in the El Camino High School district. Mm-hmm. And I think his kids went to El Camino High. So maybe he was sticking it to everybody at the dinner table too. You're against us.
Joe D, you the man, man. You the man. Hey, basketball right around the corner. We got about 2 weeks, man. We got some tournaments coming. You know, I'm gonna be hyped up for that, man.
We got to talk high school hoops. We got some, you know, be curious to see what's going on with the local colleges. And I know you guys are hoopers. And I'll see you at a Kings game. You know, we'll go out there and I'll say, "Hey, they're going to shoot any threes tonight?" Yeah, what, 40?
Well, they're going to make any.
They might have shot them. They got to hit them.
Will they make
them? Yeah, the question is, will they make them, not will they shoot them?
They're chanting, "Be better."
Oh, snap.
Okay. Joe's in a mood today, boy. KC coming in a cardigan and just set Joe's mood off into a whole other level. We love you, Joe. We appreciate you, buddy.
You're the man, Joe.
I appreciate you guys. We'll see you guys soon.
All right, baby.
You got it. That's our man, Joe Davidson, right there.
Be better. Dave Garcia, man. Come on. Put it on a shirt.
We're working on that. We're going to get Joe Davidson his own D'Lo and KC gear. We'll come back. We're going to go from Joe D to Will Z, man. Hey. Joe's memory is just phenomenal.
Spot on.
I knew I was in high school. I thought it was my freshman year. I wasn't certain. He knew right away. That was 1994. I remember this.
How we even got to that, too.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. Will Z joins us. We'll talk Kings numbers when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and Casey on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320. This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Man, Will Z going to join us here in just a heartbeat as he's finishing up some things there at the JOB. Our guy will be with us. Great stuff from Joe Davidson. I don't know who in a cardigan hurt Joe D, but man...
He does not appreciate cardigans.
And I love that he either didn't notice I was wearing one or just chose to ignore it.
He said, "Look at this dweeb wearing a cardigan." And there's D-Lo the whole time just sitting there with a cardigan on.
Oh, man. Well, stuff happens.
Very nice cardigan, too, by the way. Good stuff.
That Motive One. That brand we was talking about with Eddie. It's Motive One. That brand we was talking about with Eddie a couple of weeks ago. I purchased a couple of things from them. Went back. They do a new drop like every month. And in some of their old drops, like you would see, like when they did Icons of Style, where they dropped black creators, like one drop would disappear, the other one would come out, and then once it's gone, it's just gone. Mm-hmm. This one, like, it just, they just like, they just keep adding more to it rather than, you know, getting rid of one, adding something. Like, so like the inventory is getting a little steeper. All super affordable, high end designers, like the dude who created Brooklyn Circus, high end black designers, I should say. Really, really, really good stuff there.
Shout out Modem.
It's over at Macy's. Yeah. Over at Macy's, good stuff. Jalen Brunson's behind it. I think Josh Hart is a big part of it. Some of those guys in New York are behind it, man. So it's great stuff. Yeah, great stuff. As we mentioned, Will Z going to join us coming up here. We're monitoring the injury report a little bit as Bradley Beal and Yusuf Nurkic are, and you just said Grayson Allen also listed as questionable. So we'll keep an eye on them. I don't imagine we hear anything regarding them until either really, really late in the show around the time James Hamm is here with us or immediately after the show when they have to turn in the lineups and just rule certain guys out. We talked about the kind of wild night that it was in the NBA last night. We mentioned that the Celtics lost to the Hawks. We mentioned Minnesota lost. Obviously, the Knicks got a win against Philadelphia in one of the marquee games yesterday. But as a couple of teams now, Minnesota being one of them, Philadelphia being one of them. No, I wasn't really into Philadelphia to start this season. New York being another one. You talk about the Sacramento Kings sitting at 6-5, not necessarily looking the way that we hoped they'd look. I know it doesn't comfort anybody. Not alone.
Yeah.
They're not alone. There's a couple of teams out there who had probably, at least externally, higher expectations than the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of teams that haven't quite figured it out yet.
Well, and it's also a situation where I think the Western Conference has a little something to do with that as well, playing in the West. You know what I mean? Like, I know Kings have played some East Coast teams, but generally, you know, to start the season, you stay, you know, in your conference a little bit. And, you know, it's rough. You know, there's going to be nights when you're on, and if you got all your guys, you'll be able to come through with a W. Sometimes you got all your guys, and it doesn't matter. Sometimes you're missing a guy, and that may affect some things. So the Western Conference, while I do think there's going to be some separation to come, I don't think it's crazy to think, and we saw a little bit of it last year. I could believe from like 3 to 10 is going to be tight. Like, it's going to be tight. It's going to be, you know, a 4 or 5 game difference. I think it could be that close between that many Western Conference teams where you could be playing good basketball, but it's just so tight in the Western Conference. This seems like the first time, like, people have been warning us and talking about this for years now, like, since we started this show. We're like, all right, man. All right, it's not that strong. No, this is the year. This is the year where everybody, look at the standings. The Mavericks are out right now. Do I think the Mavericks are not going to be a top 10 team? I do. Who's coming out?
Well, if the season ended today.
Who's coming out? Like, I think the Clippers might be the team that comes out, but I think the Clippers are kind of solid.
Who else is up there? Are the Rockets still up there?
I think the Rockets are a solid team. I think they could really push. Like, I'm having a hard time finding a team that isn't going to be part of the top 10. Because one of the teams right now, it's Dallas, is outside of the top 10. And then we don't even really know how we feel about San Antonio.
I was going to say, San Antonio's not in, right?
They're not in right now. And I don't think they will be, but I don't know. San Antonio's not an awful team. Maybe I'm jaded by them turning into the 96 Bulls in the second half the other night. But I could see them pushing for a 10 spot at some point this year. West is tough. West really is tough. Do you think that affects the predictions of the 50 wins and all this other stuff just because the West is tough? Like, the Kings, for instance, may be a 50-win caliber team, but because they're in the Western Conference, maybe it's 48, 49, something like that.
I'm going to go no. You either are or you aren't. And if you're, you know, I mean, there might be teams in the in your vicinity. If you're a 50-win team, be better than they are. Be better than a 48-win team. Like, that's the vicinity, right?
Yeah.
Be better than a 48-win team. Be better than a 47-win team. I just, I, I don't know. There's a couple of teams I have my eye on where I'm like, I'm not sure how this one's going to shake out. Mm. And of course, I'm a hater, and I have been. Even though they got my attention last year, and I admitted I was wrong about them last year. I was watching them with a closer eye. I thought they improved after the trade. I don't think they got the best player. I thought the structure of their team worked better, and that's Minnesota. But we'll, you know, they're in the same exact boat as the Sacramento Kings. They're trying to figure some things out, though they're probably not shooting 0% from three.
Nobody is.
I feel like Will's camera setup just keeps getting better, like every time we join him. I don't know what it is.
What you got going on, Will?
Yeah, I feel like Will got one of the Deuce and Moe 8K cameras now, and he's got his watch parties at the beer spots going, and man, he's untouchable.
Well, thanks to Chris for hooking me up with the camera. But I feel like I'm finally figuring out the lighting and how to kind of what works best for this space. But yeah, sorry I'm late.
Will, you have a job. It's cool, bro.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
Will's got to work. Hashtag Will's got to work.
Hashtag Will's got to work. Put it on a shirt, David Garcia.
We're creating a whole new line of shirts here today.
We're mode of one.
Live on the
new
show.
Line.
That's facts. Will, I had some notes for you. What do we got? Okay, I asked this question, and I can't remember if I said it before you went to your meeting or not. Obviously, the talk, your writings have been about the Kings' inability to hit the three. It's what everyone is focused on right now because it's carrying over now into a double-digit stretch of games. Looking at the numbers, and you have them all, can the Kings survive making a high percentage of twos, which they do now, and a low percentage of threes?
I think they can. I don't think they'll blow teams out, which in the course of a season is, I think, a detriment because the more close games you're in, the more effort you're exerting for each game. So it's not ideal, but I think they definitely can win. I know last year we looked at the numbers of times they won with less than, 10 three-point field goals made. And so far this year, last year I think they were 3-7. I'm pulling up the numbers right now on where they are this year, but it feels like they haven't hit 10 games or 10 threes in forever. Where are you? Too many things.
I'm trying to think. 10 threes. Well, they hit 10 threes on Tuesday and lost, or Monday and lost. Mm-hmm. Before that, I don't know what they did in Phoenix. Obviously, they didn't do it against the Clippers. I don't think they did it against Toronto. It's been a minute. Probably been a minute.
Yeah. So in games where they've hit 10 or less threes this year, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, and they are 3-3. So I think they started 3-1 in those games, and we've seen the two losses recently kind of bump that up back towards a losing record and 500. But all of last season, they only got 3 wins total when they made 10 or less threes. So it's something that they are built to withstand. But I don't think they can do it when they're making 3. Obviously, that one's not there. If you go 3 of 26, you're going to lose every game. But if they can make 9 to 12 each game, I think they should put themselves into at least a close game. But what's great is there's still such a clear avenue for them to get better. And we haven't seen them really hit their threes at that high clip yet. The one game, their season high was 15 makes, but they did that on 44 attempts. That was in the loss against the Lakers, probably one of their best offensive games so far, which, of course, results in a loss. That's how it goes sometimes. But they, I think, with their two-point percentage, can stay in games. And an example that maybe is a little far-fetched, but I like to look at what the Cavs are doing. So obviously, the Cavs are 12-0. They are leading the league with a 59.8 two-point percentage, and the Kings are second at 58.9. The Kings have the better free throw percentage between the two. Kings are at 84.6% from the line. Cavs are at 75.3%. So we see a very similar kind of build inside the arc and at the line. The difference, though, is the three-point percentage. The Cavs lead the league at 41.3%, and the Kings are last. Mm. So if the Kings, we see what, if we look at the Cavs, we see the best-case scenario, the really efficient two-point percentage and the hyper-efficient three-point percentage. That's how you become 12-0. If the Kings can take their super efficient 2-point percentage and just be average from three, that's how you get to the like the 6-4, like constantly stretches over 500, where that may be where they end up. It'd be great if they could get it all the way up to the high 30s, and then we start seeing them go on like win 7-9 type runs. But it's a few different kind of scenarios I see it going towards the end of the season.
So I want to say something to Will real quick, because the last time I didn't, it drove him crazy. I don't think your mic is connected. I want to tell you, you sound like a million bucks, but I don't think your mic is connected, and I know it bothered you last time, so maybe check the setting and see if it's connected there. Again, if it is and something's just off, don't worry about it. You sound good, but I know it bugged you the last time I didn't bring it up, so I wanted to mention it to you this time. Casey, go ahead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.